Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
What's up, y'all? What's up? What's up? It is Athena Stewart, your identity coach. I coach leaders through overcoming rejection by identifying their talented strengths with a faith-based approach to walk in and walk out behavioral excellence. I am super excited. I'm super excited, y'all, to be back. We are going to continue the conversation. We are continuing the conversation. The clarion call to believers, the clarion call to believers. We have been in this conversation. Y'all tag your friends, share, like, go over to YouTube and subscribe, go over to Wisdom and subscribe, go over into the Facebook private community and hop in, request to join. We are coming live from all of the places and all of the spaces. If y'all cannot tell, I'm excited to continue this conversation. I got to sleep in a little bit because it's my day off, so I'm feeling a little refreshed and I'm ready to teach y'all. Now, another thing that I'm super excited about is, as God has given me this message to share with you all, I have been walking this out, right? So I am a true, firm believer that God does not give you something that you don't have to first walk out yourself. And so I am super grateful to be walking out this message. Let me go do a little housekeeping and then I'm going to jump back into my spiel. Okay, a little housekeeping and then I'm going to jump back into my spiel. So if you are joining me from Facebook, hey, go over and hit the link for StreamYard. It's going to allow me to see who you are as I share your comments. I share your comments because I do love for this to be interactive, both on Facebook and on YouTube. And so I love to make you guys a part of the conversation with your comments. It makes it even more rewarding to have you jump on in and share as something resonates with you. And so God had given me this title of this message, and he said, it is the clarion call to believers. And we have been going through prophetic insight of the clarion call. We went through prophetic insight of 5784, the decade of the power to speak. And we walked through that. We did the clarion call to prioritize spiritual maturity. That was our first session. And we walked through the significance of spiritual maturity. And that has brought us over to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and trade. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and trade. And so that's where we are jumping back in. We are only going to be on here literally for 1 hour because I have to go. And it may be even less than that. And so let's jump in. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. We thank you for health, life, strength. We thank you for the activities of our limbs, being in our right mind, protection as we slept throughout the night. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you kept us. We thank you for provision, God. We thank you for creature comforts. We thank you for employment and transportation, Father. We thank you for your glory, your grace, your mercy, and your power that is made strong in our weaknesses. We ask this morning that you create in us a clean heart, that you renew in us a right and steadfast spirit of tenacity and fervency and hunger for the things of you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm super excited to jump into the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's talk about it, y'all, because some of us are still tapping into this tree. We're still tapping into this tree. We need to be over there in the tree of life. Many of us think we don't have access to the tree of life because of the cherubims and the sword of fire. But if we leaned into the fire like the Hebrew boys did, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their surname, that was not their name, that was not their identity, that was the name of their taskmaster, that was the name of the traffickers that they were given. If we followed their example and leaned into the fire, it said that their restraints, their bands, they were broken, they were burned off. And so the same is leaning into the tree of life. We would find that everything not like God would burn off as we gain access, because we have been given access to life and not death through salvation. And so in the book of Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it features the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eating from this tree was forbidden by God. Eating from this tree was forbidden by God, and it symbolized disobedience and desire for autonomy. I'm going to say that again. It symbolizes disobedience and desire for autonomy. Now, I want y'all to go look up an automatron. I want y'all to see what an automatron is, but I want to kind of dive into autonomy at some point and give you the definition of autonomy, self-governance. Many of us are looking to move and walk in self-governance. We like to call it independence. We want to be independent. We want to be standalone. We want to be self-sufficient, self-efficient, self-productive. There's a lot of I in the mannerisms of the culture today when we want to be self-governed. We don't want anyone telling us what to do or how to do it, how to show up, who to be, who not to be. We want to run the show ourselves. And so here we see this lie, this manipulation, manipulative strategy of the enemy show up in the Garden of Eden and in the way of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that he used as a tool. And so here we see that this tree symbolized disobedience and desire for autonomy, self-governance from God's guidance. It's very specific. We don't, in essence, today, we don't want to self-govern just in and of ourselves. A lot of times what our actions show is that we want to be self-governed from the guidance of God. And so the definition of autonomy is the right or condition of self-government. A lot of times when we are not doing what God has asked us to do, or we are not incorporating God into our day-to-day activities and throughout the day activities, what we are saying is we want the right and we want to be in a position to self-govern ourselves. It's also defined as freedom, false, right? Freedom from external control or influences. Now, I found this particular part of the definition of autonomy very interesting, that we as people walking in the earth seek freedom from external controls or influence, whereby all that I can tell is that we are all at some regard, at some point in our day-to-day, under control of external forces and influences. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when we pick up our phone and we're on social media to pass the time, that is being controlled by an external influence. What am I talking about? We put importance on prioritizing things of this world than we do of God. We will get up for work every day on time and get there on time every day, or at least make the diligent effort to do so before we make time for prayer and reading the Word of God. I'm talking about Athena Stewart. I'm talking about me first, because I've found in my life that a lot of times I will definitely, I'm not even a lot of times, I never am late to work ever. Even since I moved to Hawaii, I never show up late to work. It has just been something ingrained into my psyche. I watch my grandmother work hard. I watch my mother work hard. And I gain that attribute of being on time to work. I've gained the attribute of being presenting myself in a way that is decent every day for work. I'm talking about pressing my clothes and making sure my hair is combed and my teeth are brushed, showering every day. I'm telling y'all, I show up for work like I show up for these shows. And so a lot of times what we do is we are influenced by things that we prioritize over God. I use work as an analogy because many people can relate that you will definitely show up on time to work because you know that at the end of that, there is a paycheck. At the end of those 2 weeks or that month or that 1 week, you are going to gain a reward. And the reason why we do those types of things like work with tenacity is because we know that we can expect a tangible reward. See, the difference between the work and living for the Lord is a lot of times the tangible things that we want from God don't show up as quickly as we want them to, or we don't have an extent of control that we might have in other natural circumstances. And so here we see autonomy being defined as being free or having freedom from external control or influences, independence, as we would say. I want my independence. Now, while we hold independence as a badge of honor, we have failed to recognize that we have given control or governance to the enemy. We've given him control through lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which comes not from the Father, but from the world, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. We see that God warns us of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And a lot of times we will look at that as creating some kind of sexual immoral sin, but we fail to realize that when we prioritize our job, or we prioritize our family, or we prioritize anything over God, that is considered in some regards a lust of the eye, a lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Break it down, look into it. I promise God convicted me of this, because I used to think as I read that text that it had to do with sexual activities, but it has to do with anything that becomes an idol that we see, that we admire, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the things that we do, or the pride of life, the things that we want to obtain or ascertain to or grow to, success, influence. When we put that above seeking first the kingdom of righteousness, we fall in the category of 1 John chapter 2, 16 through 17. Holy Spirit told me to add that in this morning. As I was going over my notes before getting up out of bed, I woke up with this on my mind. Now, a couple of things happened. There were two categories of things that happened and subcategories of things that happened when Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to have self-governance. They wanted to have independence. Number one, disobedience and stunted growth. Disobedience and stunted growth was introduced through this act. Now, we are going to break down the tree of knowledge of good and evil and trade. We may not get through it all today because I do have to be somewhere. So we may not get through it all today, but I'm going to try to get as much out as I can. Y'all know I get excited and then I go all kinds of places. So bear with me. Disobedience and stunted growth. We see the results of disobedience and stunted growth, not just from Adam and Eve, but it has continued and it continues to resonate through time, space, and eternity, even in our present culture and generation. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were disobedient to God's command. We see disobedience portrayed the very first time. They were disobedient to God's command. This act of disobedience hindered their spiritual growth and resulted in their expulsion from the garden. So now we see that because of their disobedience, not only did they get thrown out of a place of authority, of a place of comfort. Come on, somebody, of true comfort, true authentic comfort of the Lord, a place of promise, hallelujah, that was prepared for them. But they also began to run into this thing called hindrance of their spiritual growth. There was no disconnection between them and the Father prior to disobedience. They were in a position to grow phenomenally and exceptionally in their spirituality. They were, in essence, spiritual beings. I believe disobedience brought in the element of decay. It brought in the element of death. It brought in the element of time. I have a personal belief, and this is my own personal revelation, that before they decided to eat the fruit or be manipulated by the presence of the enemy, I believe that there was no reference of time. There was no need for time. There was no confines for a human being in the sense of our natural makeup. I believe that because of disobedience, there was a supernatural transition that took place as they got expelled from the spiritual realm of this garden into the natural. Okay, that's a whole nother story and conversation that I don't have time to teach this morning. Number two, desire of or for autonomy. We see disobedience and stunted spiritual growth took place. And in that, they were thrown out of the spirit into the natural, and it became a two-part process where now they were introduced to all of the communications of the natural realm versus the spiritual realm that they were accustomed to. Here they had to learn how to be natural beings and do what natural beings do, which is work and till the earth. And I believe that as time has gone on, we have become so comfortable in being natural beings versus being truly who we were first designed to be, which were spiritual beings. Our spirit should always be first. Our soul falls in line of that, and our body's nature in line of that, working together as a three-part being, a triune being, in harmony and in succinctness. We also see that example in our internal organs. When we are in a state called homeostasis, everything works together as it should without the dictations of man. It's just autonomic. It is not, it does not need you to decide to breathe or to pump the heart. Come on, somebody, or digest the food. It's autonomic. And so here we see the second thing that transpired after they decided to trade by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was they desired autonomy. The intrusive thought from the enemy was you can be like God, which means now you can make your own choices. You don't have to be dictated by this individual called God. You don't have to wait on him. You can be like him. And so eating from the tree symbolized humanity's desire for self-determination. Their desire for self-determination to decide for themselves what is good and evil rather than relying on God's guidance. Here we go again. We want to be independent, right? We want to buck up against the system and call it holiness sometimes. Yeah, we want to say that we are disruptors, but our life is not exampling what a true disruptor for the kingdom of God should example. The fruits are not prevalent or evident. And so we find ourselves a lot of times in forms of trouble in the natural, in forms of need in the natural, because we want to represent something that we truly aren't trying to live out behind the scenes. And so here we see Adam and Eve saying, you know, I'm going to eat this fruit because I desire autonomy. And we see this in the world today. Everyone desires autonomy. They desire self-governance to some aspect or some regard. And so as I was studying my notes, God said, add this scripture text to the notes. Y'all, these notes are just getting longer and longer to the point where I don't know where there's going to be an end. He says, we can see where eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was exampled by the children of Israel out of 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and y'all know I'm going to read it because I believe we should always read the word of God into our atmosphere. It gets into our conscious, our psyche, it gets into our mind, it gets into our perspective, and then Holy Spirit can use that to push us and propel us forward in our destiny throughout our day-to-day activities. When Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. And at this point, the children of Israel, there was still governance under God's control through judges, through prophets, through priests. And so there was still some spiritual structure. There was still spiritual aspects by which people acknowledged the one true and living God. And so here we see a shift getting ready to happen. Here we see the manipulator, the enemy, introducing pride, introducing this strong desire for independence and self-governance. There's a shift. As I was reading this, I was like, man, there was a shift. And so here we see the Samuel getting old, and he says, well, now I'm not as good as I used to be, so let me go ahead and make my sons judges over Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. Forgive me, y'all. Listen, it ain't my skill to read these biblical names. They were judges in Beersheba. His sons did not walk in his ways. His sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after, again, took bribes and perverted justice. His sons did not walk in his ways and perverted and took bribes. And this led into perversion in the justice system. Why was this important? Because they were being made judges. They were being made judges, which means they were going to have a governmental position and rule. Does that sound familiar? This is why the courts of heaven is real. This is why we need to learn how to sit in a seat of authority so that we can judge with the Father of what should and should not happen within the earth. And so here we see perversion. Here we see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All the elders of Israel assembled and came to Samuel and said to him, behold, you are old, okay? You slipping and you're straight out tripping, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now, I don't know if you can't see this, Samuel. I'm not sure if, you know, you're having lapse in judgment and memory, but did you not notice that your sons do not walk in your ways? Hallelujah. They do not walk in your ways. They do not honor God. They do not seek after God. They want autonomy. They seek after autonomy. They seek after self-governance. How do we know this to be true? How do we know that his sons seek after self-governance? Huh? How do we see that out of this scripture? It says they turned aside again and again to take bribes and perverted justice. They do not walk in your ways. They are not interested in being led by the Father. They are interested in being like the ways of the world. They are interested in how they are going to survive. They're more interested in how they are going to overcome their circumstance and their situation. They are interested in how they can purchase a strategy to get advance them into this level or that level. They're more interested in being in groups by which they can get their fancy tickled. They're not really concerned about be ye separate. They're not concerned about prayer and consecration. They're not concerned about being in a position to truly hear from the Lord. And so here we see the elders trying to talk some sense into Samuel. Hallelujah. 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 And now, so here we see my brother jumped on. Hey, brother. Here we see the elders trying to talk sense, and they say, now appoint us a king to rule over us like all the other nations. Uh-oh. Now here's the problem. Now they had some significance and some truth in calling out the fact that the sons were not eligible, but they missed the mark. And a lot of times we can bring correction and we can point out error in others. And because we're so focused on pointing out the error, we also sometimes miss the true word of the Lord. It wasn't the Lord's heart to pick a king to be over them. God never said, come from being under my governance, under my judgment, into now having someone over you. And so here we see a shift happening. Now appoint us, give us autonomy. appoint us a king to govern us, appoint us autonomy, appoint us independence aside from the guidance of God. Instead of God guiding us, I want you to give us a man to govern over us. I want you to give us someone in the natural. I want you to give us someone who we can identify with, because we don't really have true relationship with God. Well, we're so used to hearing from the prophet and the priest and the judges that we don't have a concept of truly who God is. And so unless we get revelation from a prophet, or unless we get an encouraging word, or unless we get a sermon from YouTube, we really can't relate. We can't relate to this individual called God. Yeah, I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, but I can't really relate to truly hearing the voice of God. I can't really understand getting revelation. I don't know how to interpret dreams that I have. I don't know how to get clarity in the midst of a difficult and trying circumstance or situation. And so instead of trying to hear from the Lord, and instead of being guided by him and whom he sends, I want you to give us a king. I want you to give us a man by which he can govern us. And I want y'all to check this. They said, so we can be like the other nations. Y'all better catch this. I don't know my identity, and I don't really care to know my identity. If I can just be like X, Y, and Z, then I might be okay. So give us a man to tell us what to do, so we can be like everybody else. Hallelujah. It's too much work. It's too much work to be governed by God and to be reliant on the Lord, whereby I don't need validation. I don't have time for that. I prefer validation. I prefer for someone to tell me in the natural whether or not I'm meeting up to the world standards or expectations. But it displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to govern us. This is the word of God, govern us. It's not by happenstance that we see govern us. Hello, this is legal governmental terminology. It's in the word of God. This is why knowing the courts of heaven is so important to understanding authority. This is why many of us are not walking in true authority. When you walk in authority, what you speak has to have an outcome. And unfortunately, many of the believers in this time are speaking, but there is no outcome. They're decreeing and declaring, but there is no change. I don't know about you, but I have been through many, many, many hard things. And I just don't have the energy to continue to go through hard things without there being a particular outcome in the direction that I feel the Lord wants to take me. I don't want to just be a believer believing in God's promises and moving through life and not seeing the promises of God realized. So I rather go back to the direction of the Lord through the word of God by the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that I can bear the fruits of the Spirit, and therefore so that I can see definitive change and outcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to walk in behavioral excellence. I want to go before the Lord and get an answer as Daniel did. I want to go before God and I want to get revelation with understanding. I want to have dreams and visions with interpretation. I don't want to be lacking in any area when it comes to my salvation and when it comes to my walk. I understand that my walk of salvation is in parallel to my walk in life. And I understand that I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be tried. I don't have to be despondent because I have the answers through the mind of God. And the word of God says through Christ, I have access to the mind of God. And so here we see them asking for a king to govern, give autonomy to this king. I want you to give our independence over to this king and let him govern us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord and said, and the Lord said to Samuel, listen to him, hearken to the voice of the people and all they say to you. Listen to him. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you want to be on your own. Okay. Listen to them and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you. Sometimes we really need to get out of ourselves. we need to get out of ourselves and realize sometimes the people who don't want you in their circle, or the people that don't put you on their platform, or the people who don't truly come behind you and support you like you may have thought, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the God in you. They're rejecting the assignment of the Lord in you. Sometimes it's not about you. The more I get out of myself and realize that it's not about me and it's about God, it's about serving, it's about advancing the kingdom, the more I begin to grow in myself. And as I have begun to grow even the more in myself, in my walk with the Father, in my level of understanding and revelation, the more I could care less of how many followers I have or opportunities that I get to be present in the eyes of man, I can see the difference in me. And to me, that's good enough. I can see how seeking the kingdom of righteousness first and foremost is just all right. It's good enough with me. And God says, listen, they're not rejecting you, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them according to all the works which they have done since I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they also do to you. God says, so they also do to you. So listen now to their voice. Only solemnly warn them. I want you to listen, but I want you to give them an opportunity. God is always trying to give us an opportunity, but solemnly warn them and show them the way of the king who shall reign over them. I want you to warn them, and I want you to give them some examples of what it's going to look like. I want you to warn them, and I want you to give them some examples. I believe that God is doing that again, even through these messages. The clarion call is enough. Go look up the word clarion. God is putting out a hit. He's putting out a call. He is trying to get us to hear him. He's saying, I know that you are believers, and I know that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I want to take you back to Revelations 1, 2, and 3, and I want to show you that while I'm grateful for the good that you have done, I'm grateful for you having your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there are some issues, and we need to get these issues resolved if you are to see the open doors in this season. I'm sorry, there are some issues. Your words that you release in the earth, as you want to release them and what you want to see from them, is not going to be relevant unless you hear what the Lord is saying to the church. Y'all hear me? So God says, warn them, show them what it's going to be like if they don't pivot, if they don't make a shift. Show them that there's not going to be definitive change. You're going to miss the opportunity. You're going to miss the opportunity. You're going to miss the opportunity. Let's see what happened when the people of God, the children of Israel, missed the opportunity. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him of a king. Y'all getting this? So Samuel told all the words, just like Athena is this morning, all the words of the Lord to the people who asked of him a king. And he said, these will be the ways of the king who shall reign over you. Are y'all ready? I'm about to tell y'all. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen as a result of your choice. I need y'all to hear this through the heart of the Spirit. Y'all, I have a whole interview at 10 a.m. And this show seems more important than what seemingly might be this interview. So I'm going to continue with the show. Lord, you know and you see, and it is what it is. You know and you see, and it is what it is. I'm okay. All right. And so here, listen. I want y'all to get this. These will be the ways of the king who shall reign over you. We are living in this now. We are living in this time now, and there are changes coming. Y'all need to hear the Spirit. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. We see this in draftings, right? We see it in the drafts of government, where you have to fight whether or not you want it to, whether or not you want it to sign up. We see drafts happening also through what we would call, I'm in the health field and I'm drawing a blank, through injections, right? Getting vaccinated. We see that trying to be forced upon, right? It's things that government are bearing on the people, whether or not you want it. We also see drafting through sports. You get drafted, and that sometimes seems like an amazing thing to be drafted, but many times what happens in entertainment-based drafting, which is a manipulation of the enemy, while it has some good, if you do not have a strong spiritual foundation in your faith and in salvation, it can take you over to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He goes on to say he will appoint them for himself to be commanders over thousands and over 50s. He will give them influence. He will give them influence. He will try to replace the influence of God. And so he will give them esteem. He will give them recognition, and some to plow his ground and some to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and equipment for his chariots. And so some I'm going to put under, I'm going to put my foot on their neck, and then others I'm going to advance them. Come on, somebody. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. I'm going to make me this new age thing called witches and witchcraft. Now, what you don't see here is what is in the book of Enoch, where it shows how the watchers, hallelujah, the watchers taught man how to make perfumes and how to make herbs and how to make weaponry and how to defend themselves. They created the essence and the idea of war and witchcraft and stimulants and mental deterrence, things that opioids that change your perception and your perspective. Y'all need to get this. He will take your fields, your vineyards, and your olive orchards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. I need y'all to get this. It's called eminent domain. It's called eminent domain. The government can come and take what's yours and call it eminent domain. It's just the way it is, okay? He will take a tenth of your gain, and of your vineyards, and give it to his officers and to his servants. We call this the IR to the S. We call this the state tax. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to the Lord what is the Lord's. And so we see that no matter what you want or what you say, it's just going to be the way it's going to be. You choose this and it will be this. And so we are also seeing the result of a people who decided that they wanted autonomy, that they wanted it through a man. And now we see the results of that man. We see the results of that structure. He will take your men and your women servants and the best of your cattle and your donkeys and put them to his work. Put them to his work. Now, I want y'all to get this. He will take the best of who you are and what you have. And through influence, he will manipulate him to do his work. Do are we seeing a correlation between God and the enemy? Are we seeing a correlation to obedience or disobedience? Are we seeing a correlation to listening to the voice and hearkening to the voice and the ways of God, or being manipulated and deterred of your destiny by the enemy? Hallelujah. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and yourselves shall be his slaves. Not only going to take what you have, but I'm also going to make you my slave. I'm going to make you use you and your things to do and bring about my agenda. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not hear you then. Now, I was really troubled because God was saying that there was going to be a spiritual famine in the area of hearing the voice of the Lord. And that bothered me to say, because I felt like I didn't have concrete information behind that release. And I want to truly be led by the Spirit of God. I don't like giving out words of correction or words of judgment. I like the fluffy parts of the Lord, but I understand that obedience is obedience. I don't have a choice on what I can or cannot release when God tells me to do anything. I have to do what God says to do, irregardless of how I feel. And that's uncomfortable. Okay. It's very uncomfortable. But I was wrestling and I was saying this morning to God, and I didn't even realize it till now. I was like, God, can you give me some scriptural context to the spiritual famine that's coming? Can you help me understand so that I can talk to the people that I influence and really give them more information, more insight? And so we see it here, but the Lord will not hear you then. The Lord will not hear you then. And so what is that? What is that saying? What is getting ready to happen? You know, when I moved to Hawaii, help me, Holy Spirit, to stay on course. Help me, Holy Spirit. When I moved to Hawaii, I lost my drive for reading my word and being in prayer. I lost the tenacity to be before the Lord. I lost it. I was too consumed with life. I moved to this new territory, this new place, and there was a huge adjustment from moving from California, which is all I knew, to now being on Gilligan's Island. Okay. I'm trapped around the Pacific Ocean. And so I had to get my mind right. I had to learn the culture of the people. I had to prepare a home for my family. So not only was I here on an island, but I was here on an island by myself. I left my family to start work and to get the house ready and to get everything in place so that everyone could get over while the family was wrapping up things on the other side. If you've ever moved a big move, you know that transition is a process. There's a process in transition. Oh, that's a word. There is a process always in transition. And so in that process and in that transition, I lost the fervency and the tenacity that I had for the Lord. One of the big reasons why I fell off in a sense was because I left my prayer room. Y'all better get this. It's something about having a secret place with the Lord in the natural. I know we carry it in our heart, but when you have a place where you lay before the Father and you roll around and you cry and you slobber and you cough and you hack and you let stuff out through self-deliverance and you hear the Lord, you have awakening moments, you get visions and revelation, that space becomes sacred. And it's hard when you can't take that space, that physical environment where the glory of the Lord rests and permeates in the walls and the carpet and everything that's in there. It threw me off. It threw me off. It threw me off. And so I found myself not hearing from the Lord. I found myself not hearing from God. I found myself not getting the unctions, not being sensitive. This is what happens when we get lost in translation. This is what happens when we get lost in transition. We begin to lose our sensitivity. We begin to lose that fervency, hallelujah, when we go through transition. I believe that many times we get in seasons and we begin to lose our wind. We lose our momentum because the difficulties that are presented. Hallelujah. I was on the couch. I was on the couch last night and I was studying. I have been studying. I have been so consumed in studying new language and technology from the Lord that I've dropped everything. I literally, if I am not at work, I am studying. And so I have not been present in anything because I'm studying and I'm so hungry for what God has given because I don't want to be a part of the famine. I want to hear from the Lord for myself. I don't need and want man to tell me what thus says the Lord. I know I can get it for myself and then you can come and confirm and then we can collaborate and partner together. But I never want man to give me what I can get from God myself. I want to be a priest in my own. I want to stand on my own space of authority for the Lord. I want to push God's agenda for myself. And I don't mind serving. I do it all day long in my career. But when it comes to me and God, I want to get directly from the source. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me? God is looking for this level of hunger. And so as I was laying there and I was studying and I was taking notes and I was listening and I was taking notes and I was reading and I was going from this Bible and this book and that book, the Lord began to show me jewels. I'm going off my notes. I got to get out of here. I wrote this down. This is another message. I believe that these notes came from are now 36 pages instead of 35. We're going to talk about the heavenly jewels that God is releasing in this season. Blew my mind as he began to connect the jewels from Ezekiel, where Satan had these amazing jewels into the breastplate of the priest, down onto the kingdom wall of New Jerusalem, the jewels of heaven. God is releasing to those who will go after him with tenacity. It's a choice. It's a choice. What I meant to say at the end of all of that is I got my fervency and tenacity back by choosing to go after God again, by choosing to pray for 5 minutes, pray for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, understanding that even though I had transitioned and I didn't have that secret place, that I could still hear from God. I could still have the closeness with God. Now what we have to also understand in transition, so that we don't fall into God not hearing us and we not hearing him, is that as you transition from one season to another season, from one space or place to another, it's not going to look like it did back then, back there, back when. This is why the metaphor of don't look back is so important, because we're so focused on looking back. We're so focused on trying to have what was. You got women trying to be a size two. You're never going to be a size two again. That was evolution. You were growing and evolving and developing. You were never meant to be a size 25 waist. That was part of evolution. You were always meant to surpass that. Now, doesn't mean that you don't need to be healthy. Hello. But we have to stop going back to points of evolution where you were meant to evolve from, not stay in. We have to be okay with transition. And many times spiritually, we're constantly looking back, wanting what it felt like back then. We want to live in past experiences. Help me, Holy Ghost. God is saying, I want to give you new experiences every day. I want you to walk so closely with me that every day is a new experience. Every day is a new word. Every day is fresh revelation. Every day is fresh rhema. I want to blow life on everything about you every day, and to the point where you will begin to change and evolve and appreciate and lean into and go after change. Hallelujah. I was driving yesterday and I was looking at the ocean, because that's all I live around. So drive from work is drive on the coast. And so I'm driving and I'm looking at the waves crash on the beaches, and I'm thinking of how beautiful, and the Holy Spirit said, you've changed. And I began to see myself evolve and change. I began to feel a feeling of change. I don't have the language or the words for it. I just know that I've been changed. I began to see that there were days that I would make this drive and worry, and yet I don't worry. There are things that I need God to do, and there are things that need to be done, yet I'm driving and I'm not worried. I'm more concerned about getting to my home so that I can get into my study, that I'm not worried about the things that I'm looking for God to complete, because I just know that I know that it's going to be done. And so God is saying in this clarion call to believers that you're going to cry out to me and I'm not going to hear you, because I'm giving you opportunity. I'm giving you time after time to get it right. I'm giving you opportunity. Now, I want to say this. This is not a conversation where God is shutting a door and you are lost forever. This is a conversation of, at some point, God has to allow your choice to be your choice, because he's not going to force himself on you. He is not a forceful God. He is a loving God. And so you have to understand that at some point God is going to say, it is as they wish. It is as they wish. Give them exactly what they want. And the sad part is many of us are being manipulated in the way that we're walking our day-to-day activities. This is as sensitive as everything that you do from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep. I need y'all to hear me. This is not about being just a believer. This is not about just saying, I believe God. This is not about saying, I pray. This is not about saying, I read my Bible. There's a deeper level that God is trying to get us to, where everything that we do, everything that we do. Did I say everything that we do? It has to be in such succinctness with God and with the Spirit of God and with the will of God for your life that you do nothing outside of it. What I'm noticing is I'm starting to have these moments where I'm in the wrong conversations. Yesterday, there was a member of the staff, and they were talking about another member of the staff, and I noticed myself giving my 2 cents because at this point it hadn't affected me, but now there were some things that were adding to my workload, so I began to groan and I began to complain, and I had to repent for that because I wasn't walking in behavioral excellence. But what I was so grateful and thankful in the midst of conviction was that I was in conviction. I wasn't feeling shame or condemnation. I was feeling convicted, and I was thanking the Lord that I'm changing to the point where I'm noticing conviction in the moment. So I'm able to go back and change that verdict, remove that access from the enemy immediately so that I can continue to move on. I'm not falling back. See, many a times when I would fall into sin or I would do something wrong, I would become condemned and I would become shame. And so then I wouldn't pray and I wouldn't read my Bible. I would need time to pass. Y'all know how it is when you get in trouble and you want time to pass because you want your parents to forget. So you don't want to really be loud. You want to show yourself. You want to just be invisible. And so if you're invisible long enough, they'll forget and you just kind of move on. And so many times we as believers want to be invisible, and we spend so much time trying to be invisible under shame and condemnation that we wait for the situation to move on, not knowing that we've given access to the enemy in the courts of heaven, and there have been legal verdicts released. And so we're seeing the effects of just waiting for things to move on in our circumstance and our situation because we are not going back to resolve the issue. We're not going back to repentance. We're not going back to self-deliverance through the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. We're not going back to bringing those things up and working those things out. And so we find ourselves in peculiar situations. Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, I'm good. No, I'm not going to share that live. No, I'm not going to join that live. No, I'm not going to give a comment. I'm good. I'd rather go over to my community where I'm going to be encouraged and it's going to tickle my fancy. I don't want to hear nothing that is going to make me uncomfortable or make me think about truly changing." Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. Nevertheless, the people today are refusing to hear the voice of God. Don't care what it looks like or what is dressed up. When conviction comes, accept it. And they said, "No, we will have a king over us. No, we will be independent. No, we will guide ourselves. No to the voice of the Lord. No to the guidance of the Lord. No to the revelation of the Lord. No to the protection of the Lord. No to the help of the Lord." Some of us, through our actions and our day-to-day activities, we are saying no to all of the benefits of the Lord. While somehow, seemingly in our mind, we are believing that we can have our cake and eat it too. I'm going to say no to God in my actions of sitting down and Netflixing and chilling instead of sitting down and reading my word and praying. I'm going to say no to the Lord where I could speak in my heavenly language for those first 15 seconds of boredism. I'm going to pick up my cell phone and I'm going to go on Instagram and scroll. And some of us have become like the world, so much so that you put a believer next to a non-believer and it looks identical, the same. You can't tell the wheat from the tare because sometimes there isn't any differentiation to be had. And so here we see the people saying no to all the benefits of God. And so that we also may be like the nations. I want to be like those influencers. I want to have likes. I want to be rich. I want to be the next millionaire. I'm going to buy the $30 strategy and I'm going to go after it with tenacity instead of of going in my prayer closet and giving God my first fruit, I'm going to go give man my first fruit, and I'm going to wait for man, like everyone else, to give me the answers. Because when I pay for this strategy, when I give my little seed, now I don't really have to do anything. I just need to sit back and listen. And some of the sad part is that we pay for strategy from man, and we still don't do anything with it. And so it's the same difference as doing nothing. You listen to a conference and you go to an event, and you yet are not changed. Hallelujah. Now, we also may be like all the nations, and that our king, not God, but our king, the one we choose, we decide, may govern us and go before us and fight our battles. 1 Samuel 8:1-20. We see this as the first steps and the continued steps of partaking and eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. I'm going to come back the next show, and we're going to do the trading floors. We're going to talk about the trading floors and how the continuance of eating from this tree was also trading on the trading floors of hell and not the trading floors of heaven. Anything that takes you from God and is not governed by God is a trade on the trading floors of hell. We make trades every day. And so I would just want to encourage you to think about your trades. What are you trading? What are you exchanging? What are you giving over to? What has your attention more than God? What do you find yourself going after more than God? What does that look like? I'm over here on YouTube trying to bring up a commercial, and it feels weird to see myself on YouTube. I feel like a superstar. What are you giving access to? What are you giving access to? What are you giving access to more than you are giving access to God? What are you allowing to have your attention? What are you allowing to dictate how you move more than God? I love you guys. I'm thanking y'all all for joining me. I appreciate y'all for your support. We are going to come back, and we're going to continue this conversation. There's so much to unpack. I feel like we're just like little bits and nuggets, but there's so much to unpack. But I do need to go. I need to go, y'all, because I only want this to be an hour. We are at 57 minutes, and I'm trying to learn how to be. So listen, I am Athena Stewart, your identity coach. If you do not know me, go over to coachingwithathena.com. Find out a little bit more about